Log Talk Radio.
Look, brother.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Start the show.
Oh, yeah, here we
go. Let's go. Ah, oh, there he is. You guys hear me pretty good?
Yeah, somewhat. We can't see you, though, because you're probably somewhere doing God knows what.
He probably is. What's up, Rob?
I'm trying to be high tech like you guys. I'm using some wireless earbuds.
Uh-oh. He on that landline tonight. Uh-oh. Yeah, I bust out the wireless every now and then, but I don't seem to have the best reception. So it's just, it is what it is. Man, we got the crew here. We are wrapping up an amazing year. I mean, and I say amazing, kind of interesting. I know it's been crazy as well, but there's some positives too. But, man, we are officially ready to talk some sports with the 12th man, kicking off on another Wednesday, December the 16th. And like we always do, I got to check in with my amazing cast of characters, my fellas, my boys, my dogs. What's up? I see you. JQ representing. Signing day was actually day two. We're going to definitely talk about signing day stuff. My man Deion Sanders is doing his thing. We got a lot of things to jump into, and I see with the Rattlers, I see you there, JQ. So let's kick it off with you, bro. How you feeling, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. Had a crazy day at work. I figured, you know, I switched up, put on my alma mater, my Florida A&M Rattlers. But I'm looking forward to Saturday, bro. I'm got me a 117 tea time at Trophy Club around the corner from my house, and then I'm going to the Florida-Alabama game at 8 o'clock in the Dome to watch the SEC Championship game.
Nice. Okay. Be safe, as always.
That's going to be an ass whooping.
You, I know.
I hope so.
Hear that voice. Oh, my goodness. Hey, it's good thing to have Rob on. And kind of like JQ, I'm drinking as well. Got my little Moscow Mule here, you know, a little gingerbread, little vodka, man. So it's been a crazy day, man. So I got to enjoy this, man. So, I'm not double fisting like
double
JQ, fisted. But having some fun. Hey, let's get Rob in. And Rob, how you feeling this evening, man?
Hey, man, doing great, feeling fabulous. Ready to have some fun with you guys.
Feeling fabulous. We just got Rob in. He is officially checking in. He's trying to be cool with his wireless earbuds as well. So we see you, bro.
I only wear these things when I'm working out. So I'm trying to do it on the show tonight.
Well, we know your ass ain't working out, so.
He's working out some asparagus is what he's working out.
Put them guns.
West Coast, check in. Curtis and Gary, how you feeling? You're muted.
I'm gonna go get my magnifying glass so I can see that raw spice up. I'll be right back.
Well, how about those Cowboys? How about those Cowboys?
I told you.
We know they can beat Cincinnati.
We know they can beat Cincinnati. I told you there was going to be Cincinnati. I told you they was going to beat the brakes off of Cincinnati. I told you that last week.
He did say that. Yeah, he did say that.
You know, this was really the first time as being a Cowboy fan since 1968 that I didn't root for the Cowboys. And I didn't root for the Cowboys because I want that better draft pick. We want that offensive lineman. And you
no,
got
no, 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 no. No, 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 no. That's a Kimbe. No, no, no.
You know, and I'm not wearing this because the Cowboys won. Rob, did you send me this?
I didn't send you that. That's not what I sent you.
Okay.
That was like $100. Well, I'll say you got about that $20-$25 gift. You ain't sent you $100.
Okay, I don't know who's been there.
I would never spend a dime on Cowboys paraphernalia.
Nice.
Someone sent me this. I don't know who it was, so I thought I'd wear it tonight. That's the only reason. I don't know who
Very
sent
nice,
it to me.
Very nice, Jerry. Very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob. I got the gift as well, man. So thank you for that, by the way. So appreciate you as always. I still got your gifts kind of like figured
gotta
out.
Step up your sock game.
So I appreciate that. I do love
that's what
socks.
I look forward to. I didn't get it yet. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's all good, man. That's actually a pretty good idea too. Whether cups, mugs. That's a great stuff, too. So, fellas, we appreciate you tremendously. And again, Robert, thank you for thinking about me. Like I said, I got some stuff for you guys. I'm like I said, your boy is crazy, man, but I'll get that out to you. So stay tuned. Seriously, I got a really nice gift for you, JQ. You're going to appreciate that. And then a courtesy, I say, too. It's all good.
I appreciate you, gentlemen.
Too much
travel. A little small token of appreciation. That's all.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you,
all
bro.
That matters, man. I know everyone's got families and things to do, so it's all good. I know, like I said, JQ, you got like girls to spend for, so you're off the hook, man. But I know it's one of those things.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they kicking
it's
my ass.
It's all good. get it for the kids.
I know the deal, bro. No worries.
We are ready to get this party started again. Looks like it's going to be us, man. We're not going to get Naj or Lou on, so I'm going to knock on wood.
That
one plays out, but. Reach out to the boys, call the number, 424-243-9519. Follow us in that instance. I know, we'll talk about this later. So the name changes and whatnot. That was interesting talking, jumping on his show because they were cool with the, they're like, why did they change the names? Like, there's a reason why we changed the names, guys. It was weird, man. So, anyway, all good. Damn, speak of that. Four two four two four three nine five one nine. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12 THME and Sports. And then last but not least, we are on Facebook Talking Sports and 12 Fan Sports as well. So let's get this party started. I gotta grab some things here. We gotta talk about the top five teams in the NFL. And Rob, get off with you, man.
All right. Hey, I'm going to start with the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champs, Patrick Mahomes, leading MVP candidate. To me, they look like they're the clear choice for the best team in the National Football League right now. 12-1 offensively. I mean, Mahomes threw 3 INTs against the Dolphins, and they still won the game this past weekend. They're just so electric in all areas, especially offensively and special teams. Defensively, they're not great, but they're doing just enough. I mean, when the offense is putting up 30-something points a game, they don't have to do a lot. But, I mean, they're the clear choice for the number one team in the league. Right now, I got the Buffalo Bills, surprisingly, at number 2. When you look at what they're doing defensively, when you look at Josh Allen is doing as well on the offensive side of the game, when beating Pittsburgh, beating pretty handily, too, this past weekend. And I got the Buffalo Bills, even though the Steelers have a better record. I think the Bills are a better team. Right now I got number 3, the Green Bay Packers. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers is playing lights out football right now with all the touchdown passes, not turning the football over. I think he's only got 4 INTs the entire season, which is incredible. And kind of like the Chiefs, defensively, they're not great. But, you know, they're putting up so many points offensively when you got Aaron Jones. Devontae Adams is straight up unguardable. Man, unbelievable what he's doing. He and Tyreek Hill are just putting on a sensational season at the wide receiver position. So I got the Packers in the 3 spot. I got Steelers at number 4. I know they've lost 2 in a row. Defensively, still a very good team. You got to have some concern to them offensively right now. They're becoming one-dimensional. They're not running the football effectively. I know they've been without Pouncey, but, you know, you look at their running stats here over the last 5 to 6 weeks, it's been almost embarrassing. I mean, they can't run the football. And I dropped my Saints down to number 5 right now, a tough loss on the road to Philadelphia. And, hey, you know, Philadelphia made them look bad in some areas. Offensive line didn't play well this past weekend. Defense and also the coaching didn't show up even this past weekend. There's no adjustments, anything. I think horrible job by Sean Payton and Dennis Allen with the preparation for that game this past week.
I love it, Rob. I can't complain with any of those top five. I'm so shocked that you dropped the Steelers and the Saints. But I agree with you. When you look at the Steelers, they just can't run the ball. And they've lost a lot of people on the defensive side of the ball. And they're still ferocious, don't get me wrong. That pass rush is not as explosive as it once was in the beginning of the season when they lost all three of those linebackers. So I agree with dropping them as well. And I'm looking at Sean Payton and Dennis Allen, and I was like, did you not know Jalen Hurts could run the ball? Like, I didn't understand the way they defended Jalen Hurts in that football game. I didn't understand it, and I agree with you on that. Like, I don't understand that from Sean Payton's point of view. And maybe Jameis Winston, it's got to be like, okay, Taysom Hill he's a nice gadget player. Don't get me wrong, but I still think he is leaps and bounds away from being a starting every week scare you NFL quarterback. You know, taking all the snaps from under center for the Saints. So I'm looking like, why did you sign Jameis Winston? Is he not picking the offense up well enough? Is he not showing you enough in practice with Drew Brees being out? Because to me right now, given what they have on offense, and Taysom Hill is killing Alvin Kamara's usability right now for that offense. He's absolutely killing it. I don't quite understand why the reluctance not to turn Jameis loose with Sean Payton calling the plays, if it's just not a trust thing that's happening there or he's not picking up the offense enough. But I agree with you. I think it's really, when you talk about it, you put Kansas City and Green Bay right there because you got the two MVP candidates that are going head-to-head, and Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. So I would agree with those top five, but I watched all of that Saints-Eagles game, and I was really puzzled just by the way they approached that, if they just took it for granted because it was Jalen Hurts or the preparation of the game plan. And I was really surprised at the way they approached that game against the Eagles this weekend. And for whatever reason, you give the Eagles life. I really don't think they win that division. Quietly, the Washington football team is playing really good football. And they've got a really good front
Chase
seven.
Young doing it.
Chase Young is
baby. But it ain't just him, though. It's Sweat. They've got multiple guys on that defensive side of the ball that are playing really good football for Washington right now. Mm-hmm. And to me, they're the odds-on favorite, in my mind, to win that division. But the Saints' preparation and game planning against the Eagles really stood out to me. I was really taken aback by that.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And if anything, if you are going to start Taysom Hill, use him the way the Eagles use Jalen Hurts. I mean, that was just mind-boggling to me, the way they – I totally agree. First of all, you can never take any team in the NFL lightly. I like the comment Mike Tomlin made a couple of weeks ago. It's not like it's the Big Ten against the MAC. It doesn't matter who you're playing in the NFL. You can't take anybody lightly. And I thought the coaching staff did a horrible job in preparation for the Eagles in every facet of that ball game.
Hey, Rod,
and personally,
you.
I
don't
think it was
close
to the score indicated, too.
Yeah.
Do you think that they probably have enough film on Jalen Hurts as well, though? They may have not had film on Jalen Hurts. They weren't quite sure how to prepare for him, you think, or what?
Yeah, not enough film on the kid. But, you know, he's not going to be a long-term solution for the Eagles. I will, because he still can't really get it throwing the ball. But he's a good runner. He's a good athlete.
I don't know. You never know.
That's a good throw. That was a good throw to Alshon Jeffery in that back shoulder and to the pile line.
Yeah.
And he got splatted on that ball. That's a great throw. That's what I was like, I don't know. That's a good throw.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, you got to give the Eagles a lot of credit.
In his college career and in his so far just brief little bit we've seen in the pros, is he that guy that will consistently do that for you at this level? I'm not thinking he will. I do think that the five that you picked, Rob, is spot on. As we were looking at it, that would have been my top five. I thought that was great. Curtis, what do you got on that?
Well,
I love the order.
I think the Philadelphia quarterback out college Jason Hill. We're seeing these college – we're seeing a lot of college quarterbacks you know, reverting back to their college days. And I think what Philadelphia was thinking is that Jason Hill was going to be a better college quarterback than the Philadelphia quarterback, and they were wrong.
Interesting.
I got Baltimore in my top five, and I got L.A. Lakers.
Really?
The L.A. Rams.
I'm about to say,
about
the Lakers,
five.
I didn't know anybody about playing football.
Yeah, the Rams in my five. I think the Rams can get to the Super Bowl. Everybody better watch out for Baltimore. And that Monday night game we watched, that Lamar Jackson has gotten scary. He's getting more and more scary. He is getting more and more scary.
He still can't make the throws, though. He still can't make the throws. He scrambled.
Absolutely.
And he hit Marquise Brown on that breakaway when he came back from taking a shit. But if you watch what happens in the playoffs where teams with good defenses can team against him, and, well, you know, he was going to take a dump, man. You know that's what happens. But when teams can team against him in the playoffs, and you know that he and J.K. Dobbins and Ingram and Edwards wanted to just run the ball and then play action to Andrew, I think you've seen that in the past couple of years, that you can scheme around him running the ball and you can put them into a deficit and you can make them be one-dimensional where they're not a good throwing team.
Hello?
So it's hard for
me. Hello?
Yeah, you're on. Yeah.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, all right?
Hey, guys, I'd like to sit here and talk about schemes and the 4-3 defense and the whole 9 yards and who's going to do this and who's going to do that. But we got some bigger issues, and we got to get right to James Harden, all right? Let me finish on this one, guys, because I got three names I want to bring up to you. Why won't James Harden just come out of the closet? Just admit he likes dudes. He's fluent. I'm going to give you two other.
I don't even know what just happened, guys. I kind of cut that off with quickness, man. I was kind of waiting for that.
Wow.
What was that?
What the fuck is wrong with people?
I
don't know.
I could tell that was going in the wrong direction.
I thought we appreciate Lou. I was like, I know Lou dropped on, but I was like, I saw 813 number.
I'm here.
This, you know, so I know it was just weird. Like I'm like, what?
Oh, hey, Lou.
You know, so anyway, I don't know what. What is that?
Hey, look, it happens on my show too.
Yeah,
like,
go ahead, Lou. What do you think about those top five?
Top five. Well. That's a bigger problem. I mean, you know, the season hasn't. Wait, you're doing football or basketball?
Football.
Okay. Well, I'll say right now, Ravens. I think they slipped off a little, but I think they're like an 8 or 9 right now. But gotta go with the Steelers. Gotta go with the Chiefs as my top two. Surprisingly, number three, I know you're going to think I'm crazy for saying this, but how about I'd say the Bills are three. I'm going to take the Browns in number four. They're my surprise team of the year. And they lived up. Well, hey, look, I mean, they've made a dramatic improvement over this year, and I think they surprised a lot of people. So I wouldn't necessarily knock it, you know.
But you have not mentioned the Chiefs yet. That's why I'm surprised with that. You got down at number four and have not mentioned the Chiefs. Did he?
He said the Chiefs. Yeah, he said the Chiefs. Yeah, he said
number two.
The Chiefs and the Steelers was 1-2? Right.
Number two, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought it was like, whoa, hey.
No.
Okay.
And
where would you put the Packers?
Packers I put actually for the tie between for fifth between the Packers and the Saints.
Okay.
I couldn't make up my mind, so I put it on a tie.
No, that's good. And I think we were talking about, you know, how teams can kind of, you know, definitely rise or fall. And, you know, definitely keep an eye on the Bills. That was a really, really good play, a really good game from them. You know, obviously Josh Allen is growing into his own. You know, right now they're just talking about how they're embracing that culture. And that kid's got an arm, man. So he's definitely doing what needs to be done. So. I'm not mad at that pick. I mean, I don't know if they're quite top five, but again, I think they're probably like six or so too, but that's a good call too as well.
Right.
But then we're going to talk about Seattle, how they've been kind of dropping, and Russell Wilson. You know, we're going to talk about the MVP, Rob, and just how he's kind of, you know, definitely gone down. But again, we got to talk about, you know, Patrick Mahomes doing his thing. We got to talk about Aaron Rodgers doing his thing. So I'm going to kind of let you – I'm doing the setup, Rob, for you for this the next topic as far as the MVP for the National Football League. Go ahead, Rob.
I mean, right now I think it's a four-man race. And I think Patrick Mahomes is still the front runner. And Aaron Rodgers is a very close second right now, the way he's playing. Like I said, he's not turning the football over. And then, you know, a little bit of a distant third is Josh Allen. And Derrick Henry is flat out running that rock. I mean, he's running over people,
yeah,
past people. And so I got him number four right now, and that's it. And yeah, I know JQ is holding up two fingers, and definitely Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers are the front runners. But Josh Allen and Derrick Henry may get some votes in the, you know, distant third and fourth place. But those would be the four guys to talk about right now when it comes to the MVP conversation.
Well, Mahomes is a shoo-in, I think.
Yeah,
he's not a shoo-in yet.
The only reason why I say two, and
he's,
I would vote Henry above Allen, because Henry is on pace to maybe
Henry's
go for 2,000 yards. So
yeah,
I'm gonna give him that credit. But if we've noticed
that's
anything true over the past 10, 15 years, the Heisman Trophy, the MVP, basically become a quarterback award. And we can be mad about it and say, you know what, it's not right, yada yada yada. You're not gonna be a defensive lineman, linebacker, cornerback, running back, wide receiver. It's so much harder because you don't have the ball in your hands on every play to win that MVP and the Heisman. That I just don't think that they're going to vote for that way.
But the way you were talking about Derrick Henry and only having him fourth, I mean, that is a little surprising though.
I would have him third.
I would have him second.
I would have him third too.
I can't argue with that.
I think with Aaron Rodgers and what Mahomes are doing, you know, leading the NFC and the AFC and the NFC respectively, I think they're going to get the majority of the votes. I really do. And it's come down to it. And we can argue the merits of whether or not it should just become a quarterback award. But that's really what it's come down to. So if you look at it like that and what they're doing, being the faces of the franchises with the number one seeds in both conferences and putting up gaudy numbers, is going to be a Mahomes and Rodgers thing. Unless Derrick Henry, running back, almost has to go for 2,250. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have to get 2,000. He's got to go over 2,000. We just look back and say, damn, did he go for 2,250 yards? Like, he's got to have a stupid, ridiculous, dumb season. Not that 2,000 yards isn't a dumb season, but it's got to take what you think is a dumb season and raise it as a running back. That's what, in terms of what the voters do, that's what I think happens for Derrick Henry. Not that he's not deserving, but it's just that at running back, when you're going against two quarterbacks with the cachet of Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, who are both MVPs in this league, it's going to be really hard for him at running back to beat down the MVP, especially when they have a better record than he does. And you look at him and Mahomes, they're going to say, yeah, he's great, but he's two games behind Kansas City in the standings. So are people really going to vote for Derrick Henry over Patrick Mahomes? That's why I say that. I think it's those two, and I still think it's Patrick Mahomes.
I would agree with that. You know, I think it's closer, but I will say this. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT. I will say that. I've heard a little bit about him thinking that he's the GOAT, and
that's Shannon Sharp.
Let's talk about
A-Rod. I want to say this. I agree with you guys, but I'm looking at Rookie of the Year, and I got Chase Young in there. I got that receiver out of Minnesota in there.
Justin Jefferson is the Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got Justin Hubert in there. So that
nice.
Might even be more interesting than the MVP to see which one of these guys get that Rookie of the Year.
Good class.
I agree with the Rookie of the Year. Chase Young is definitely the Defensive Rookie of the Year. And
yeah,
offensively, for a good while, beginning of the season, it looked like it was going to be Joe Burrow, then it looked like it was going to be Justin Herbert, but now it's looking more like Justin Jefferson. for the offensive rookie of the year right now.
I agree.
Minnesota is
killing
it with drafting receivers, man. They just have it down, getting the great red, Randy Moss.
And
they just keep it going.
They drafted Laquan Treadwell. That's a miss.
Okay, well, that's the one miss. But yeah, but other than that, they've been pretty good as far as that. We're keeping this moving here.
And think about all the teams that drafted receivers before Justin Jefferson. Was he like I lost track. Was he the fifth or sixth receiver taken?
I think it was
I gotta check. I think it was the fifth.
Because you got Ruggs and you got
Reader
and CeeDee Lamb.
Jerry Jeudy.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jeudy, yep. He's 15. That's fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, look that up. Good job on that, too. And as much as I hate to bring this up for JQ, too, and you, whenever you were talking about, looking at the Heisman and going back to their quarterbacks and, most valuable players, all that fun stuff, too, I kind of thought about the last player to win a Heisman, a defensive player. And was it Charles Woodson? I know you hate Michigan.
Kind of going back
that far. That's crazy that that's been that long that he's been the last player to make.
Yeah.
I mean, the last defensive player to win a Heisman. You know, that just shows you how great he was, but then this, how it's definitely going to the more offensive side, too, because you'd like to get, like, the running back, the quarterback, or, a defensive player, too, but it's been that long since it's been a guy that's made that much of an impact, too. So, anyway, I was just thinking about that. And speaking of that, too, I think Jim Harbaugh is going to be going back to the NFL. So just a little FYI, man.
Three more years. Let's go. Extension. Let's go, Harbaugh.
Yeah.
That Chicago job is waiting for him. I'm just saying. Let's keep this going here.
I think Michigan is going to keep him myself.
3-year extension. They talk about extension.
I'm just calling. I'm just messing with you, man.
It's true, though. That's true. It's crazy.
That's crazy. I know it's true. Hey, we're going to table the Tampa Bay Bucks here, but I do want to talk about a really big game that's happening coming up. We got the Chiefs at the Saints, Rob, and we'll let you kind of take the lead on this. Obviously, you can get that bad game out of your blood with the Eagles game, Rob. You are coming to play against the defending Super Bowl champs, so I'm sure maybe they're looking ahead. I don't know, but what say you on this very big matchup?
As much as I hate to pick against my Saints, I can see us beating the Chiefs this weekend, even at home. And, Taysom Hill is that quarterback. We would not be able to match Patrick Mahomes from a scoring perspective here. And I'm going to go Chiefs 30, Saints 20 in New Orleans.
I am going to pick the upset and take the Saints over the Chiefs in this game, because you see the foolishness happening every week. Every week there's one game you just gonna say, how the hell did this just happen? I watched the Chiefs fall behind Miami, and I watched the Saints get embarrassed by the Eagles.
Beautiful.
And I'm going to tell you that if you don't think Sean Payton then peel some paint and talking to that team and is leading up to this game against the Chiefs, they cannot lose two games in a row. They've already ceded the one seed to the Packers. They can't lose this game. It's nothing more than just a feeling that I think Sean Payton, being the coach that he is going to find a way to scheme some ways open. And we talked about it. That Kansas City defense is not great. You can score against that Kansas City defense. And coming into that Eagles game, I believe the Saints were the number one defense in the league, with the Rams being number two right behind them. So it's not like that Saints defense is horrible. They just had a terrible game plan and execution. But the components are there for them. They still were the number one ranked defense in the league. I'll be by myself. I'm going with the Saints.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Yeah.
Lou, look at Lou.
Well, I think it's the booze talking, because I don't see that.
A lot of players already.
I'm sorry.
Very funny.
Double fisting it, JQ, but I'm going with the Saints, too. I've learned my lesson. I am going with the Saints, too. Yeah, sorry with the wine talking. I'm not going with the Saints.
What was the wine like?
Well, I put it like this. I think Kansas City wants that first week off in the playoffs. I think they want to keep home field. And so the Saints, and if they lose this game, the Saints have no chance of being at home field. But I think Kansas City has a shot to be home field and get that first week off in the playoffs.
And let me ask you this question.
I'm picking Kansas City beat them 34-24.
Did anybody have Kansas City losing to the Raiders a month ago?
No.
Of course not.
Okay. What say you, Luke?
No, I had Kansas City. I definitely had Kansas City.
Raiders almost swept them, actually. The Raiders almost beat them in Oakland, too.
It's a matchup.
Pull
about
it out.
Yeah, sometimes you have a squad that just matches really well with the team. JQ, I can kind of see where you're coming from too, as far as that. The Chiefs defense is not that great. I'm just a little scared about Taysom Hill. Not to say that he's not doing good. That's the only component I'm a little nervous about too. You know, obviously, if you want to match, you know, Patrick Mahomes, I think that defense is fantastic for the Saints. As much as I hate to admit that, I got to be objective too. But I just think that, you know, again, Patrick Mahomes is just, he's going to make some plays too. So, you know, again, it's kind of that Taysom Hill kind of situation too, that I think if you had Drew Brees, that'd be a different conversation. But right now I'm kind of thinking that, kind of leaning towards the Chiefs as well too, man. Not that it's, I can see we're going with that too, 100%, JQ. But, you know,
I
want to
shock the system.
If you pick it right, we'd be like, damn, JQ, once again, man. But, I mean, it's going to be – I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a really great game, too. I don't think it's going to be like
a blowout. I think it's going to be an excellent game.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout. And I think what gives the Saints a chance is their defense.
It's coaching. Coaching the defense. Absolutely.
You know, yeah. I mean, if Kansas City monkeys around and thinks that they're going to go down there with, you know, with just 40 seconds to go or whatever – they're not, you know, they're playing, you know, the number one, you know, number one or two defense in the league. That's a different task. They're playing a team, and also they're playing a team with a mobile quarterback that can use his legs to keep the chains moving. So I can definitely see where you're going with that. Yeah, JQ, he's my hero.
He is. So much, man. He drives me up, man. I love it. Oh, man. Hey, Rob. Talk about.
Rob's like,
that was great. That was great.
Jerry, I love it.
Well, they argue for me.
Hey. Right. Hey, let's talk about, Rob, the top 32 NFL college prospects, if you will, too. I know you're cracking me up, Gary, too, because whenever we talk about the Jekyll and Hyde Falcons, we were kind of okay because I'm like, hey, it's a better draft pick. So now it's like I'm kind of like you. I'm like, damn, we lost to the damn Chargers. You know, Matt Ryan throwing three interceptions is just not looking good, man. But that was we gave him right back. Well, yeah, you know, whatever. So we got the better draft pick, if you will. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, do Atlanta draft Zach Wilson if he's on the board?
Ooh.
You know, Zach Wilson and Trey Lance is another opportunity, too. I mean, I don't know what that new regime is going to pick, too, because if you get a regime that is kind of like – I'm kind of hoping it's kind of like from the line of the running line of 49ers, then they probably won't get a quarterback that high, you know, because I don't know what they're looking at, honestly, you know. So they may go defense first and kind of get that solidified or what. But, yeah, go ahead, Rob.
The top three hasn't changed, obviously. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, of course. No changes there. They're still the top three on the board. The rest of the draft, Patrick Surtain is clearly the best corner in the draft from Alabama. Got him at number four right now. Aziz Ojulari, edge rusher from Georgia. I know Andre and JQ, you also be aware of him right there in Atlanta. Got him up at the number five spot. I know, I'm not a Bulldog fan too, but I'm sure you'll at least hear his name. But he's in the number five spot. Then I got two more quarterbacks. Got Trey Lance, quarterback, number six, North Dakota State. Zach Wilson, the aforementioned we just talked about, had him number seven from BYU. Jalen Waddle is coming off a major injury, but, you know, he did a lot, and it looked like he's going to make a full recovery. Got him at number eight. Gregory Rousseau, edge rusher. From Miami, who opted out this season, but a huge pass rusher number 9.
Turnover
Peter
10.
Fairley, cornerback, Virginia Tech, number 11. Devonta Smith has been lighting it up for Alabama and got in number 12 right now. Kid from Louisiana. Don't get me started on that, how we let him get out of the state. Jamar Chase, number 13. Michael Parsons, linebacker, Penn State, number 15. JQ, Wyatt Davis, offensive guard, Ohio State, got him at number 18. And here's a kid that initially opted out this season but came back, Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive tackle from USC, and he's worked himself back into being a first-round pick. You know, prior to this, he made it as a second or third round. He initially opted out, came back, and has had an impressive season for USC. If you get a chance, check him out in the Pac-12 championship game Friday night against Oregon. He's been outstanding. And he worked himself into a first round. Also, Jalen Phillips, edge rusher from Miami, another guy has worked himself up into a first rounder from his play this year. Number 20 run, Rashawn Slater. He plays offensive tackle from Northwestern. His arm is a little short. He's probably going to move to guard.
All right, here we go.
In the NFL. All power
T-Rex
and right tackle.
Right. Got T-Rex on
him. Yeah. Javon Holland, safety from Oregon, have him number 22. Kyle Pitts, tight end, Florida, number 23. Mac Jones, quarterback, Alabama, number 26.
Mac Jones.
So he's number 5 in the quarterback. And really the only difference is, you know, he's a pure pocket passer, but he just doesn't have the athleticism that you're looking for. You know, even somebody just move around in a pocket, and that's the reason why the other four definitely are ahead of him at the moment. And another guy to watch is Carlos Basher, defensive end, Wake Forest. Kind of reminds me of Cam Jordan. Probably not a outside rusher in the 3-4, but more of an edge rusher in the 4-3. So he's one to watch as well. And the last one I'll mention is Travis Etienne, number 1 running back in the draft as of now from Clemson, number 30 right now.
You know, when you put that together, and I watched that with two guys from Miami, and Miami just getting blown out, I wonder how much that will affect your draft stock unless they just really come out and kill it in the workouts and the underwear Olympics in Indianapolis. I think Michael Parsons being out of sight, out of mind, has dropped him. I think when he starts to interview and he starts to work out and talk to teams, he's a beast from Penn State. I think he's going to move up. And some of those other offensive linemen, I just have a hard time with some of those defensive ends. Maybe, you know, only because they're not having that season where you're just like, damn, that dude had two or three more sacks this year. Like, you're not hearing about them unless you're, like, knee-deep into studying, you know, the top 32 picks.
In the hoop line.
You don't really know who those guys are.
Right.
So
right.
Unless they just come out and just interview and just test out the, you know, just off the charts, I feel like it's going to be really, you know, offensive lineman, quarterback-driven. And I think Michael Parsons speaks into that top part of the conversation. It's going to be different because we just never had this piece like a Jamar Chase. You know, Jamar Chase is a beast, but you haven't seen him. And then when he shows up and he runs and he interviews, how far does he move up? I really like Kyle Pitts from Florida. He is a phenomenal tight end, and I think he's going to move up the board a whole lot. He's helped trash his numbers out a whole lot. He got you know destroyed in that Georgia game, but I really like him. And I know tight ends don't normally go that high, but he's one of those hybrid Kelce kind of tight ends. And you look around the league like they've got a Kelce, they've got a Kittle, they've got an Andrews. Like you look at that and say, ooh, if I'm sitting there at 10 to 15 and we're just only a couple pieces away, I can see Kyle Pitts moving up a lot too. I really like Kyle Pitts from Florida. And I hate the Gators, but he is a beast.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned those edge rushers from Miami. Now, Gregory Russo hasn't played this year. He opted out before the season. And so only one of them is technically playing this year. So I don't know if that would, you know, hurt him. But just think if he was there, you know, when you look how well Jalen Phillips is playing this year, how
they
much better they could possibly be. And Jalen Phillips was not projected to be a first-round pick prior to the season. And so he's kind of worked himself into that position. And, I mean, you mentioned Kyle Pitts, too. You know, there's starting to be some rumble in the NFL circle. You know, can he stay healthy? You know, he's missed a few games that some people thought he should have played. So that'll be the only knock on him right now, is staying healthy. And then you mentioned Jamar Chase, out of sight, out of mind. I mean, right now I got Waddle and Devonta Smith picked ahead of him right now. So we'll see how that goes.
And the way Devonta Smith is acting up,
he's clearly better than both of them.
Devonta Smith might move ahead of Waddle. Devonta Smith is acting a complete donkey this year. He might move ahead of Waddle. Like, I understand Waddle's a beast. When you saw him play, he has those punt return skills where you make people miss in space. But goodness gracious, Devonta Smith, when you know they're going to go to him because Waddle's hurt, and he's still going for crazy numbers. Like, Devonta Smith, I think, is going to move up as well. He's got my respect. He's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to watch what the Cowboys do. The Cowboys, I wonder if they're going to trade Dak and try to amass a bunch of players. Probably what they should do. But it's going to be interesting what they do in this draft.
I keep trying to tell you, no. The thing that happened to Dak is the best thing that happened to your Cowboys. You know why? Because now you don't have to pay him $38 million a year. He's coming off an injury-shortened season. You could probably get him for about 22-23 and take that other 16 and put it somewhere. There's nobody signing that for $37 or $38 million. Even if it's a 1-year deal, you can sign that for a 1-year $20 million improvement deal and then franchise him again. But guess what? The franchise thing is set back. It's not like having done it 2 or 3 years in a row. You get that year break in between. I'm telling you, it's the best thing that could have happened to you if you love Dak Prescott for your Cowboys, is that you could sign him for at least 1 year at a discount and then restart the whole renegotiation cycle of what did we sign him for. It sucks for this year, and I totally get it, but you no longer have to pay Dak Prescott $38 to $40 million a year right now. You just don't have to do it.
Boy, like I said, the Cowboys are going to be interesting when it comes to the draft. It's going to be a big interest.
Yeah, I think ideally if you're the Cowboys, you know, if one of those quarterbacks on the board, you at least have to think about it, right? And, you know, offensive line, you know, if you got a chance to get a guy like Patrick Surtain at the cornerback position or Caleb Farley, that could be a big help for the Cowboys as well. So those could be a few options for them. I think when you look at quarterback, you look at off. Yeah, absolutely.
They signed Dak. I know you don't want to hear that. They're going to sign Dak.
They
and get
sign him, they sign
63 cents on the dollar for what they were going to pay for him before he got hurt.
Yeah.
Lou, are the
and that's
Jets
probably
going to
happen too.
Is that because he got hurt, or is that because of the COVID thing and the scale, you know, the money coming back?
I think it's a combination of both, but I think it's more because he got hurt, because it's hard if you're Dak at his age to say, hey, everybody in the free world saw my ankle turn like this. So you either get a 1-year proven deal, you say, okay, damn, now I'm Dak. I played on these franchise tags where it was only 1 year guaranteed. What am I willing to give up a little bit to get a little bit more guaranteed money and a 3, 4, 5 year deal, what I didn't want to do before? Now that I've looked into the specter of being hurt and lost almost a whole season now if you're Dak Prescott. So it changes also his negotiating tactics and his mind frame. He's looking at it like, I've been healthy and I've been the shit for the Cowboys. And I've played every game. Now I've missed, 8, 10 games now for the Cowboys. And I know Jerry still loves me. I can't command $40 million right now because the market won't give me that because I missed almost this whole year. If you're Dallas, I feel like you can get him for, like I said, 65 cents on the dollar. And maybe he signs for that extra year that he didn't want to do before because now he wants that guaranteed money and he wants that protection because he's seen what's happened now because now I've gotten hurt. I think that may end up being a silver lining for him and Jerry to meet in the middle and get a contract done where they were this far apart. I feel like they can get this much closer on that contract due to his injury. I really do. Because if you're him, what do you say? Like, I want my money, right? And if you're going to give me this guaranteed money now, I'm not going to get as much as I was going to get before because I'm coming off this injury. So do I gamble on myself and do a 1-year deal? Or do I do a 4 or 5 year deal for 65 cents on the dollar and guarantee my future with the Cowboys, America's team?
Mm-hmm. Right. Very nice. Lou, I'm going to let Lou talk really quickly about his Jets because I think they're going to get the – they're going to opt to the number one pick. So what's the you in that?
The only bright spot that could happen is they fire Gase at the end of the season because this has been a hellish season for gangrene. And I mean that politely. Ugh. Just
only help.
And don't think, I didn't know 2 weeks ago that that was set up for the defender to lose. Just think of the draft.
The all blitz, basically, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, the last second blunder.
Yeah, let's go all in. I got you. No, like I said, looks like if that's the case, Trevor Lawrence will be wearing the, the green, if you will. Hey, we got about 50 minutes here. I do want to get some last stuff here. We got a lot of things to discuss. So I wanted to talk about the Giannis extension, if you will. There's an interesting piece about Alabama flipping the four-star defensive end Keon Cope from LSU. That's for you, Rob. And then Deion Sanders' son, Shiloh Sanders, actually is transferring to Jacksonville State, from South Carolina, which is really big. And then, obviously, USC gets that four-star quarterback who takes over Oregon, BYU, and UCLA. That's for you guys. But, again, a lot of things to talk about, too. Rob, can we talk about the fantasy shout-outs real quickly and then kind of pick and choose, because a lot of different topics we can definitely jump into, from the Rockets and Giannis to all the fun stuff, too. So, really quickly on you, Rob.
All right, fantasy shout-outs for the week. Obviously, we're going into the semifinal round in all four of our leagues this weekend. So we'll be at the semifinal playoff round.
Great, love this.
So we got some good competition going on in all four fantasy leagues right now. League number one, the biggest win of the week, Paul from Atlanta, his team, Monsters of the Midway, beat Big Q's team, Ohio Players, 149.52 to 91.86. And KC, also from Atlanta, has got the best record, Lions King, 10-3 in that league if he's got the number one seed. League number two, Sean in Atlanta, also known as Scary Daddy, his team, Black and Gold Patrol, beat my team, eliminated me from the playoffs, 167.40 over my team, Black Lives Matters, 151.72. And Mark from New Orleans, Boxcar Willie O2, 10-3, and in first place. League number three, Unger's crew, Matt in Indianapolis, his team with the biggest win of the week, 162.90 over Kraken, 95.94. And JQ's team in first place in that league. I think they were 11-1 or 12-1 in that league, or 11-2?
Yes, sir. One loss. No, two losses.
Okay, yeah. 11-2. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. All right, and league number four, my team is the biggest win of the week, Flash Forward. Beat Baby Got Backfield, 180-102.10. And my team at 11-3, holding down first place right now. Those are your fantasy shout-outs of the week, and we're getting ready to start fantasy basketball here coming up next week as well.
Come on, man. Y'all got to start doing my homegirl Marcia like that. And you know what? I'm tired of Yahoo. I'm going to write them a strongly worded letter. Every time we get a draft, I'm at least like four to the end. And I sit behind Dre and Rob, and they take all my players right before I can draft it. And that shit pisses me off. Can I please be in the top five like one time? I'm tired of drafting from the back. It's bullshit, Yahoo. It's bullshit. I want you to know that.
Hey, you might need to change your team name. You know, the person for Yahoo that put together the draft order is a Steelers fan. And when they see
He got to be. You know what? I'm glad they finally admit to the fact. They always just say, JQ, you just get too mad. You just upset. That's not true. Every draft, I'm drafting the back half of every draft of every league that we do.
That is true.
And now they admit to it because they see it. I'm like, what the hell? Can I get a random draft order in the front? Please? Please. Please. Nonsense.
I'm sending a letter, too.
Strongly worded letter. I don't need a regular letter. I need a strongly worded letter.
Habitual.
All you gotta do is give JQ a few little brewskis and he's gonna go off.
I'm not lying though. You know what? Guess where I was drafting? 11th.
That was awesome. I mean, it was a funny JQ. I just knew. I was like, JQ's gonna draft behind us. I just knew it. That's exactly what happened.
See? They already know. They game plan on knowing they're gonna draft in front of me because they know I'm gonna get shitted on by Yahoo. They already know.
Oh,
you know, I was in another fantasy basketball draft last night after hours. It was an ESPN draft, so someone invited me to. And I had the number one pick in the draft. Everybody was like, got invited. How you get number one pick?
See what I'm saying? 11-9.
Mm-hmm. He's a Saints fan, the Yahoo guy. Hey, really quickly, guys. So we've got about 10 minutes left in the show, so I do want to open it up for you guys to talk about any topic you want to talk about. Your boy had an event. I got home at like 2, so I'm feeling like Rob, man. So, you know, let's just kind of like open the gates here. So whatever topic you want to talk about, we can pass it around the room because we have a lot of things. And we can also, again, don't be scared, Rob, to go ahead and move these topics to next week as well if needs to, because we got a lot of good things too. So start with Rob, who is yours, and then we'll go around JQ, Gary, Curtis, Lou, and then we'll wrap it up as well. So go ahead.
Yeah, I got last in the draft on this, but that's fine. Whatever.
What do you mean?
I got last in this draft, I guess, too, huh?
Yeah,
I know what you mean now.
You can come back and
on me, too, now.
You can make it around.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
You can talk as long as you want.
Go ahead with the snake.
First round, yeah.
That's because you came around with you came on the show with that Cowboys jersey, Gary.
Gary, the only reason why, because it's good to have Rob wrap up, so I need to have him start first so he can wrap up the show. There's a strategy to it, you know, honestly, because you don't want to get Rob.
I'll go with that. I'm not buying it, but I'll go with yeah.
There's a little method to his madness, huh?
A little bit.
Let's see here. What I want to touch on here really quick. You know, obviously we talked about this on the show last week with Louis Riddick being the candidate for a couple of GM openings.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be interviewing with Detroit and Houston, so be interested to see how that goes. He used to be an executive with the Eagles. And the Rockets and James Harden, that's going to be really interesting to watch. You know, looking at the interview tonight, he said he's there. He said he's playing to win. You know, I'm really interested to see how that's going to go with that situation in Houston and with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, if he try to give that a shot, or he's still forced to
DeMarcus Cousins,
and wants to be traded. And you look at Giannis, the biggest NBA contract in history, 5 years, $228 million. That's very big for the small markets in the NBA. And you know, JQ made a good point. Does it last? But it gives them a vote of confidence that they can still try to build a winner there in Milwaukee. And look, I think Milwaukee is going to have the best record in Houston Conference this year again. And I still think they're going to fall short in the playoffs. And they're just built for success in the regular season. And it's kind of like LeBron was when he had those Cavs teams. He didn't have another star when he gets to the playoffs. They would get eliminated in the early part of his career. And I still think that's where the Bucks are. You know, Jrue Holiday is a nice addition, but he's not another superstar. And, I mean, you got Chris Middleton. He's not another superstar.
Same thing.
And that's what you need here. And they're going to have the best record in the Eastern Conference. They'll have the number one seed, and they may get eliminated, second round. I like the Sixers in the Eastern Conference. I really do. I think Doc and the Sixers are going to have the second seed in the East. And I think the Nets are going to get off to a somewhat slow start. I think they're going to finish the year strong. You know, you got Durant coming off injury. Yeah, who knows what Kyrie Irving head is, right? And I think they're going to finish the year strong. I think you're going to see a Nets and Sixers Eastern Conference Finals, and I like the Sixers and the Lakers in the NBA Finals with the Lakers repeating. This year, I had a chance to watch the Lakers tonight against the Suns. Was thoroughly impressed with the depth, particularly in the first half when LeBron and AD played, and the depth they were able to put out on the floor. They're going to be a tough out. And so you look at the NBA preview. That's kind of my sneak preview. I think the Clippers will still be the number two seed in the West. I think the Nuggets will still be the number three seed in the Western Conference. And so those are still where I see.
Nobody's afraid of the Clippers.
That's
you mean
so,
the choke artist?
Gary's favorite player.
So can we put – hey, so you want to put like a bottle
– one check?
So you want to put like a small bottle of liquor on that, Rob?
Because
I think
the Nets.
I think the Nets.
are going to be the one seed. Like, if you want to, like, do like a small bottle, like a crown or something like that, because I think you're tripping. I think the Nets are still going to be the one seed in the East. I don't think it's going to take them as long as you think it's going to take them. Kevin Durant. It's still Kevin Durant. We can talk about it in another episode, but I think the Nets are going to be the one seed in the East. I really do. As far as Giannis
goes, I think
they're
going to be better than the Bucks by the end of the year.
I think they're a year away, fellas. No,
who?
The Nets? I think the Nets are a year away from being real contenders.
Ooh.
You know,
this
is just like a year where they all have to find the chemistry, the right moves, and whatnot. You don't really expect it for the first year, especially since they've been out for a year. I mean, I think they're going to be a little bit out of rhythm, you know, just coming back. So, you know, this is like an adjustment period. So next year, I think it's more realistically that they're going to make a serious run. This year, I think they had to find a year to adjust. That note, I will scram out of here.
Yeah.
I'm going to be taking a couple of weeks off for the holidays, but I'll be back the first week in January.
Thank
you.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah.
I respectfully disagree a little bit with that, with the Nets. I think that this is the year that they're going to gel because I think the next year, I think Kyrie's going to act like he's the best player on the team, and then that's when they're going to blow up.
Yes.
So I don't think it's this year. I think this year is going to be a long time. It's the new girlfriend. You know, she's hot. You know, she's great. You know, she's everything. And then you get to know her, and you know what? She's not all that good. You know?
Right.
So I think she's a new girlfriend.
I agree. You look at that next team that made the playoffs without Kyrie and KD. Caris LeVert, Dinwiddie, those guys, they have a great squad.
Like
if they get those two, if they can get that, those teams to say, okay, to step back two positions. Kyrie and KD step into the 1-2 roles. If Caris LeVert says, and to me it's Caris LeVert, if Caris LeVert says, you know what, I was the one. If he steps back into the 3 role, I think everybody else takes a solid step back and says, if that dude right there can step back from a 1-2 or 3 role and recognize we've got KD and Kyrie, then they can blend more secretly, I think, this year. But you're 1,000% correct. Kyrie is going to say, oh, shit, I'm Kyrie. I'm the shit, baby. And he's going to forget that he's got Kevin Durant on the team. He's going to go nuts. And it's going to be a problem. I totally agree with that. I think this is the year that they capture it. You see Kevin Durant playing, Kyrie playing, they look like Kevin Durant and Kyrie. So, to me, that's my piece on it. I agree. I think the Nets are going to be the one seed. Just to jump real quick, the football rankings signings today, Alabama and Ohio State do what they do, as well as Clemson. LSU quality is still in the top five, but LSU took a couple of losses, but that's to be expected. You have a down year and you're recruiting against Alabama and Florida and Georgia, you're going to get some people flipped against you, but LSU is still LSU. I think they'll still find a way. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was
– find a way?
What? Is the college football – I don't understand what the college football committee is doing. I don't. I don't understand how Florida – and no disrespect, but this is a down LSU team. You were a 3-touchdown favorite against LSU, and you beat them and you lost at home, and you only dropped one spot. How do you do that? How do you have a 2-loss Iowa State team 6, a 2-loss Florida team 7, a 2-loss Florida Georgia team 8, and I understand Cincinnati's not playing in the best conference. I get it. But you drop them a spot each week down to 9th. Nobody wants to schedule Cincinnati. Nobody wants to schedule Coastal Carolina because they feel like we got everything to lose and nothing to gain. What can those schools do to move up, even outside of a COVID year? They're undefeated. What else can they do? I just don't understand how you look at it. How the hell is Iowa State number 6? They lost to Louisiana by 17 points in Ames. They've got... Louisiana has one loss. Louisiana is ranked number 19. Florida is ranked number, number 6. They are 13 spots higher than Louisiana is in this last ranking to a team they lost to at home by 17 points. I wish the committee would just come out and say, you know what? Fuck the small schools.
We don't know what they're doing.
Unless everybody loses 3 or 4 games, you ain't going to make it. So just be glad to be on our show. Ha ha. Praise. Spear fingers, but you ain't never gonna make the top 4. If you just tell me that from the get-go, I would have so much more respect for what you have happening. But Florida losing to LSU and dropping one spot, and Georgia still sitting at number 8, you got Cincinnati undefeated behind three two-loss teams. I just don't understand that, if, given the criteria that you are putting out to us every week. If you just come out and say, hey, you're playing a bullshit conference, we don't respect it, then tell me that, and I can live with it. But don't pee in my face and tell me it's rain. Come on, man. Like, what are we doing?
I don't get it.
I agree with you. Ladies and gentlemen, that ends the live portion of our show. We're getting ready to go into the OT portion of the show. Thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We still got more to talk about here in the OT portion, so click on this link and you can get the rest of the show. Good night, people. Next Wednesday night, we'll be back on 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our friends in Hawaii. That's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian.
Christmas Eve.
Good night, people. You know, JQ, I'll piggyback on that with the college football rankings. A lot of that I totally agree with. And you know what? We got a team in USC in the Pac-12 that's not even ranked in the top 10 that's undefeated. And you know, we just talked about it. We got some clear NFL prospects on that team, and they're not even in the top 10 yet. That's another surprise for me as well. And then we look at this college football playoff here. So you got a few things to watch this weekend. I mean, I think Alabama is going to beat Florida, of course. I think Ohio State's going to beat Northwestern, of course. Obviously, those are two that are going to be in. This Clemson-Notre Dame game is going to be huge. And I think Clemson's going to win this game. I really do. They had a chance to win without Trevor Lawrence. And to me, it's going to come down to how bad they beat Notre Dame. If it's a close game, I think Notre Dame stays in. But if it's a blowout, and if they just dominate Notre Dame, you cannot put Notre Dame back in this playoffs. And you got to start looking at the Texas A&Ms of the world. You got to look at the USC's of the world. You got to look at some of these other one-loss teams here. And you can, if Notre Dame loses by 3-4 touchdowns, there's no way you can turn around and put them right back in the playoffs after losing that bad. And you really got to start looking at some other teams there. So that, to me, that game is going to be a huge factor in how this college football playoff shapes up this weekend. But I totally agree with you. You know, LSU went into Florida, into the swamp and beat them, and they only dropped one spot. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. And like you said, Louisiana went into Iowa State, kicked their ass, too.
Whooped their ass. 17 yeah. points. And they 19th, and Iowa State 6th. How?
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? Yeah. And to your point, the Clemson-Notre Dame game, say you take the other part of it. Say it is a close game either way. Does the college football committee want to have a third Clemson-Notre Dame game this year at 2-3? Mm-hmm. Or does Ohio State have to blow out Northwestern to climb into the 3 spot or maybe the 2 spot? Like, I feel like they did a whole lot of stuff just to get themselves a whole lot of outs. But when you look at the landscape of the college football, you know, teams, and you look at that, I'm from Cincinnati. How close is Carolina behind Cincinnati? They're undefeated, and they got a better win against BYU at home than Cincinnati has against, what, the UCF? Like, if you're close to Carolina, you have to say, what else do we have to do? We played everybody. We took BYU on a short week, and we beat them. If we can't get close to the top four now, where can we?
That's another quality win.
Yeah.
If Coastal Carolina beats Louisiana this weekend, that's a quality win for them. They would have beaten Louisiana and BYU this year.
Right.
That would be some quality wins for that program if they win this weekend. There's no doubt about it. Now, if Clemson somehow loses this game, there's no way they're in either. Two losses to the same team, you can't be in the playoffs. You know, you're out. And that's going to be – if Clemson loses, they're out. Somebody else gets in. If Notre Dame loses in a blowout, they got to be out too. But if they lose,
I don't know. If Clemson loses another double overtime, a 3-point game to Notre Dame, they love Dabo and Clemson. I'm not going to automatically rule them out. I know
they don't deserve to be in the playoffs if they lose to the same team twice.
I don't disagree with that. I'm talking about what I watch what the college football committee is doing. Think about it. Outside of Alabama to me clearly is the only team that has no qualms about them being in the playoffs right now, being number one. But everything else is cyclical. Notre Dame has beaten Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. So they're like, oh, well, they beat Clemson, so they're in. Clemson's number three. Well, we lost to Notre Dame, but we didn't have Trevor Lawrence, so they're number three. It's a cyclical argument there. And you look at Texas A&M, well, they beat Florida. Well, Florida just lost to a terrible LSU team. Like, they keep using the criteria in whatever way, shape, or form that fits their argument. So I can't definitively say that if Clemson, as another two-loss team, doesn't stay ahead of Texas A&M or the other two-loss teams, if they lose a close game to Notre Dame in the championship. I agree with what you're saying, but I can't sit here and say they're out, they lose this game. If they lose a 3 or 4 point game to Notre Dame, they still might be in number four. They might be.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with it, though. I definitely would not agree with it. You got an undefeated USC team, you got a one-loss Texas A&M team, they should be in over a two-loss Clemson team. You've already seen them lose to one of the teams in the playoffs twice. What makes you think they deserve to be in there? If you're going to put a team in the playoffs, that means they are a potential national championship team, and they have already lost to one team twice that will already be in the playoffs. To me, you can't put them in there. But I agree with you. It may happen, but I wouldn't agree with it. I think it would be the wrong thing to do. I think we're sending the wrong message to these college kids too.
I agree.
Well, we get back with the NBA. I thought it was great that the Greek Freak stayed home and he's going to try and do his thing at home. I think it's great. I like the guys that are willing to try and and I think that's I think that OKC gave up way too early before they had a opportunity. I would have stayed with OKC if I would have been Durant. When you bring those, when you're that close to taking out Golden State, you don't have enough pride to try it again, so you can't beat them, you join them. I have a lot more respect for the Greek Freak, somebody like that that's not just going to pick and choose their team. They're drafted there. He's going to stay there for a long period of time, and he's not just – he wants to bring one home to a small market franchise. And I hope he does. I hope he is rewarded he's definitely rewarded it financially. But I hope he's rewarded.
Every time you talk about Kevin Durant joining the Warriors, and again, they recruited him too as well. And you don't know how bad the situation was with Russell Westbrook.
Well, Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis left the team that was, that he had a good team, I think, in the Pelicans. Were they maybe with a few extra pieces they could have been a better contender in the fact they were a strong contender in the West.
That's what I'm saying. It's always something. You never know. There's other situations that actually allowed him to make that choice. Because again, I'm telling you, it wasn't like. He automatically, he struggled with that decision. And I know that Golden State definitely went hard, like, hey, this is the situation I'm looking for. So they did present him and pitch to him. So if you're an NBA team, you would want to go for Kevin. Who wouldn't want to have Kevin Durant playing for them if he's a free agent? So they took their shot and they got their shot. They got the guy. So everyone's trying to crap on him and stuff like that too.
What Giannis did basically was reward Milwaukee for believing in him. Because when I said that, when I text that, I wasn't trying to be facetious, but if you see Chris Paul's contract, Russell Westbrook's, John Wall, when you see their contracts be traded, there are no untradeable contracts in the NBA. So what he has done for Milwaukee is said, okay, I basically just have bought you time, right? He's got an opt-out option after year number four. But if he walks in one day after year two and says, you know what? You guys didn't do what I thought you was going to do. These dudes suck. If he pulls a James Harden and says, I'm out, what he has done is given a team that he's going to trade that contract to at least 2 years with the opt-out to go into a three-year deal to another team and say, okay, I can now trade this contract because he's still a two-time MVP and defensive player of the year. I can trade him and still get 2-3 first-round picks and maybe a young player. So for Milwaukee, yes, you want to keep Giannis on your team. But for me, for them, it's that – even if he gets disenfranchised with what we have happening, we can still trade him now that he's got 5 years, 4 years with a player option for the fifth year. We can still trade him and still get something back for him, as opposed to the gamble they made and going for Drew Holiday and making these moves and having him walk after next year and getting absolutely nothing. So for Milwaukee, you're like, win-win. Win-win. Let's go for it. So I love it for them as a small market franchise. They can recoup some kind of value off of him if he decides to leave. But if he doesn't, they're able to build a winner with him. You still win because you win the championship. So good for Milwaukee. I agree. But that doesn't mean he stays in Milwaukee through this whole portion of his contract. There are no untradeable contracts in the NBA.
Absolutely.
Well, every year is year to year, right?
That's
with the star
like
players
that.
In the NBA right now, it is year to year with all of them. The way it looks,
yeah.
It's definitely a year to year process. It's a different league. These guys want to join up to be champions, and so I mean you're absolutely right. Everything is year to year. When you look at the movement that we just saw, and last summer was a lot of movement. Now this offseason wasn't a lot. I mean you got Chris Paul going to Phoenix. You know, not anything really major. But there's still a few moves that has taken place. I mean, you got Westbrook going to the Wizards, Harden one out. So there's going to be star movement in the NBA every year. So whether it's Giannis or someone else, you're going to see it. It's going to be every offseason. That's just the way the league is now. It's been that way for probably the last 30-something years now.
Figure.
Okay. Well, I got one of my coworkers with me. This is Richie. He's been on with us before. He's listened to you guys talk tonight about all kinds of college football and draft picks and everything that we've discussed. And the only thing he ever wants to talk about is the Portland Trailblazers. So you're on.
I just wanted to say, it's fun listening to you guys. I want to get your take on our trade that we got and what do you guys think of Carmelo sticking around a little bit?
Hey, I love the pickup of Robert Covington. I think he gives them a guy that can hit the wide-open three-point shot, and he gives them a guy that's going to defend. And Carmelo to come off the bench and give you some scoring punch off the bench. But I love the acquisition of Robert Covington. I thought that was a huge pickup for them. And, you know, I can see Portland being somewhere around anywhere between a 4 to 6 seed in the Western Conference. You know, they have the backcourt. They have the bigs. And I think getting the wing that can really defend like Covington, Carmelo, let's face it, he can't guard anybody.
Great move.
He can't guard a statue. But he can come off the bench and he can score for you. And so I think having a Covington, a guy that can defend, rebound, steal, block shots, hit the open three-pointer, a little bit more versatility. So I like that acquisition. I think that's is it an upgrade for the team? Absolutely. Is it an upgrade that's going to take them to a championship contender? Unfortunately, it's not. But I think it does improve their ball club. I mean, they made it in as an 8 seed last year. I could see them being somewhere between a 4 to 6 seed this year in the loaded Western Conference.
Yeah. No, the only thing I say about that, I like getting Covington. I thought it was a slight overpay to get Covington. I would like to see what Nurkic and Collins do, especially Collins, because he has been hurt. My biggest takeaway from what happens with the Blazers and what they do is what they do with CJ. Because whenever I hear anything about the Blazers trying to make a major move to go get somebody, it's always CJ and a pick, CJ and a couple of picks, you know, to go get another franchise piece. So are they starting to get, you know, looking at that pairing of Dame and CJ and saying, we like those two dudes. They love to be in Portland, but can those two dudes take us to this level? I love the fact that Melo has finally embraced the fact that he can come off the bench for Portland. He didn't do that in Houston. He said, no, I'm still Melo. I need to start. And that torpedoed what he could do in Houston. He's gone to Portland and said, okay, I can come off the bench. I can thrive in that role. I can be the leader of this bench mob. And I appreciate his growth. But in terms of the bigger picture for the Blazers, to me it starts and ends with Dame first and CJ second. And if they get to a point where they say, you know what, we just can't thrive with just an all-star backcourt. We have to, and if it comes down to the two, I might get more for Dame, but I want to keep Dame here. Dame has had that loyalty. I don't want to go join the super team.
Absolutely.
I want Portland to be the super team. So you're going to keep Dame. If they get to a point where they say, okay, maybe we got to get rid of CJ, who can they put with CJ in package and what can they get for CJ? Because I really think CJ is a really phenomenal two guard and maybe he just doesn't need to be paired with Dame in terms of that kind of backcourt. We need a front court guy and a backcourt guy, and they just need to kind of split him up because of that piece of it. Kind of like with Washington. You love Beal and you love Wall, but can you give Beal and Wall long-term money in Washington and say Washington is going to be a good team? And even before Wall got hurt, I think Washington looked at him and said, we'd rather have Beal, and we might have given Wall too big of a contract. Let's get rid of Wall anyway. I wonder if Portland has that same kind of philosophy when they look at it and say, love Dame, no way we get rid of Dame. Let's take a couple phone calls quietly about McCollum and see what we can get for him. And if that happens, who can they get for CJ? That was what really intrigued me about Portland. But to me, Portland's still a playoff team, but they're still a chip, a piece away from they're a big guy to me, or a superstar, or a big superstar, like in terms of forward, small forward, center, to pair with Dame to say, ooh, now you got that deal with Dame, with everybody else they have coming off the bench of Portland. Now you got to really watch out for Portland. I think they're just another major move away to where you really have to take them super serious for coming out of the West.
To be honest, I'd like Aldridge to come back, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I think he'd kill with Dame and CJ, but I think we'd have to move somebody in order to get him back, which I don't know if that would even happen. I'm not a Collins fan to begin with, but I don't know what Gary thinks about Collins.
I don't want LA back. No.
I'm just happy to be almost.
He's not enough.
Myers-Leonard. I'm happy to be free of Myers-Leonard.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, LaMarcus is not enough. And I think we all feel like CJ's a really good guard. I kind of wonder what the other executives, the other GMs feel about CJ around the league in terms of, if you're not getting rid of Dame, CJ's clearly your other best trading chip. What can you really get for CJ that will move the needle for Portland? Because you're not getting rid of Dame. You got to keep Dame.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's balling. Anything else, Gary?
No, that's it. Curtis is here. He's just sitting on the bench now. He's not in the game. I benched him.
We appreciate you guys.
No.
Wow.
Hey, you're shaking your head. He's shaking his head. Hey, Curtis, you're on the team. Get me another Gatorade while you're over there.
Wow. Awesome.
Curtis said it might be another Bordeaux.
No, real quick, I'll touch on the recruiting really quick. I know JQ touched on it, a little bit here. But, if you look at the recruiting rankings right now, Alabama, number one, unfortunately, the Gumps did it again. Ohio State's number two. They were able to keep their number one player in the country, defensive end Jack Sawyer. He's from Ohio. They were able to keep him at home. Ohio State's number two. Georgia, number three, and a lot of talent right there in Georgia. LSU right now, number four, and, still have the potential to get some other prospects that are still pending as well, as well as some other schools. Clemson, number five. And you got Oregon right there, too, at number six. And in Oklahoma, number seven. LSU was able to get the number one defensive tackle in the country from Cajun country, right there where Ed Orgeron is from, Mason Smith. So that was a big hit for LSU. And JQ's favorite team, Michigan, was able to keep star running back Donovan Edwards from Michigan. They were able to keep him at home right there in Michigan. But Michigan lost out on a couple of teams, too. They had initially had commitments from a couple of guys that
Maryland.
And respectively, one went to UCLA and one changed his mind, went to Maryland. So that kind of hurt Michigan at the last minute. We talked about a couple of recruits that were initially committed to LSU that changed their mind and went to Alabama. Wide receiver JoJo Earl from Texas was one of them. And five-star athlete from Florida, Xavier Sory, picked Georgia over Alabama and Florida. So that was a big get. And then Florida went to Birmingham, got defensive end Jeremiah Williams to commit to Florida over Alabama right out of Birmingham. So some of the same players, Alabama number one, Ohio State two, Georgia three, LSU four, Clemson five, Oregon six,
Oklahoma 7. USC got 4-star quarterback out of Utah, Jackson Dart.
Yep.
Committed to USC over Oregon as well as BYU. So they went into Utah and right into BYU and Utah's backyard and got pro-style quarterback Jackson Dart to go to USC. Big get for them, too.
Well, I've got to show you guys something. I've got to show you guys something. When the Timbers score, their lumberjack there, he takes this big chainsaw and he cuts this log down, and it's about so big. Anyway, I got a gift, and I wanted to show you. It's a cutting board from this one of the Timber games and one of the pieces of lumber that we so we got that for Christmas, filled with a bunch of snacks. So, you know, the snacks are gone, the board is still here, but I wanted to show you guys because it's beautiful.
You know, that's both. And I'll leave it with this. That was looking at that from the rankings. Ohio State got the number one wide receiver out of this class, and he's from Washington. And I think it's a defensive tackle linebacker has put Ohio State and Alabama in his top five, and he didn't put Washington in his top five. And I just wonder what's going on out there with the Washington recruiting that these two guys are not coming all the way across the country. If they would keep some of those guys at home, they would crack that top 10. Like, Ohio State got the number one wide receiver ranked in the country from Washington to come to Ohio State. And I believe, Rob, I think it's a linebacker or defensive tackle that just announced his top five, and I don't think he had Washington in the top five, but he was a classmate in the same year with the wide receiver from Washington as well. So I found that interesting that, you know, not only just Washington, but not Oregon, not USC, not UCLA could keep those guys, you know, on the left coast. I thought that to be really kind of interesting and weird that broke down that way. They were ranked so high, and they didn't commit to one of those schools.
Well, you know what? Why would you commit to those schools? Maybe in your own backyard. But where are you going? You're wanting to get to that next level. You're wanting to go into the pros. So why wouldn't you go to an Alabama or an LSU or Ohio State over one of these schools out here that we don't get the publicity that you guys do? You know, you guys get the national televised games all the time. So they're out there. So if I was looking at my, you know, and I was in that position, I was that number one receiver, and I'm good enough to go to Alabama or, you know, LSU or, you know, Ohio State, and those are the, you know, the premier teams, you know, I'm going there. I'm going there because that's going to get me where my end result is. Now, maybe I'll be able to come back to, you know, and play for the Seahawks or whatever team that you in your area that you want to be from. But, gosh, you know, that just makes – it's business, you know, and that's – you got to do it. You got to – if you're putting yourself out there, it's not like you're the sixth or seventh best guy, wide receiver in the country. You're that number one. You're the dog. You know, well, you're going to be on TV all the time back there, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's
– It just caught me off guard. That's what it was. They didn't have one of those West Coast teams really so higher up on their rankings to be from Washington, not to pick up, you know, typical Northwest school. I was just shocked by it. I was like, really? Damn, that's a long way to go away at 18.
But look at it a couple of years ago, Jacob Eason, when he came out, he was one of the top quarterbacks in the country right there out of Seattle. He initially committed to Georgia, and he gave it a shot, and of course he somehow lost a job to that dude. I can't remember his name. And
Jacob Fromm.
And then he went back to Washington. It didn't work out for him in Georgia.
Justin Fields lost his job, too.
Hey, you look at the kid that's in Georgia right now. He's a California kid, and, you know, coming to Georgia, and he's had the opportunity to shine right now. And sometimes it's all about where you're going to get that exposure. Jacob Fromm, and he had an opportunity to go play for Chris Peterson, who was one of the top college football coaches in the country. And he stayed, went to Georgia. I mean, playing for a national potential opportunities to play for a national championship in the SEC. Hey, you know, but, you know, it didn't work out, and he went back to Washington.
Yeah, it was just to me that you had two guys that high up in the rankings that from so far away go all the way east and not, you know, say, let's do this culture at home and build it back up. You know what I mean? Like, it was just something I thought was interesting.
They keep the college basketball recruits. Seattle puts out a lot of good basketball players. And
they do.
Those guys normally stay. And those are the guys either stay right there in Washington or they'll go to Gonzaga or, you know, somewhere in Oregon. They stay in the West Coast area, the basketball players do.
They do.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I got a question. The Georgia coach, if he can't freaking pick quarterbacks, man, you lost, you know, Easton and you lose Justin Fields. That's just, like, something's wrong with you, man, because, again, we talked about that earlier. That's a problem, man. Jake Fromm didn't do jack, man. You know, that's just insane. So, anyway, that's my little tangent, so all good. But, yeah, good call on the recruits, if you will, too. You know, like I said, I ain't going to talk too much stuff about my school. We're still kind of below, but we're actually, you know, again, we're getting some transfers coming back to Georgia Tech, but we're still got a long way to go, man. But I'm just happy that we're actually got a real pro-style offense and getting some real big offensive linemen and some defensive tackles, you know. So that's all that matters, man. So it's all good. So,
are you running that 1930s offense no more?
No.
We are definitely not running that.
But freaking Alabama, they got like three offensive linemen that were in the top 12. That's stupid.
How about this? Alabama got the top two offensive tackles in the country. And it was the first time that's happened in college football ranking. So just think how loaded they're going to be, you know, from a run blocking, pass blocking standpoint. They got the top two offensive tackles in the country to commit to Alabama. Unbelievable. Yeah. Nick Saban.
Hey, Rob, on a second note, I'm a huge fan of Jamar Chase, too, by the way. Like you said, it's tough how he's going to drop. I know I had to say that, too. That's just one of the situations, too, man. So if I'm a pro coach, man, that's I know you got him as a third wide receiver, JQ, but that dude's going to be dynamic, I think, man. So just
you cannot take another wide receiver, bro. Come on, man.
I know. I'm just, it's totally – Damn, if I had enough picks, I would be like, yo, but I'm not saying we pick him. I'm just saying I'm a fan of him, man.
Chase is a beast. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
If the Bengals don't get Penei Sewell, something's wrong.
I'm going to take all my shit outside and burn it right in the middle of the line.
All right, guys, wrap this up, Rob. Let's get this done, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been another fun night of talking sports with a 12th man. So we apologize for the caller that called in earlier talking that foolishness. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to another great edition. We'll be back on Wednesday night. It'll be Christmas Eve on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. And once again, for our friends in Hawaii, aloha, it'll be 5 p.m. in Hawaii. And for our friends in Brazil, that's going to be 1 a.m. for you all. So, once again, for our friends in Brazil, Rio, Sao Paulo, it's going to be 1 a.m.
Oh my
Make
God.
Sure you all tune in.
I can't follow that. Wow. Hey, man, I'll talk next week. Make sure y'all all get out there and get your Christmas shopping done. Don't be one of those fools to be out there at 10 o'clock on Christmas Eve talking about I couldn't find that cabbage patch, though. Don't let that be you. Go out there, get your stuff done early enough and be done so you can just chill out and get some egg now. We holler at you next Wednesday.
Online shopping, JQ.
Point and click.
Good, Gary. Good to see you, man. You and the family, everything like that, bro. Be safe, man. Have a good one, fellas.
Yeah.
Good rest, man. Looking forward to it. We'll talk soon.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
Be safe, brothers.
Yeah.